Good morning. 7:54, to be precise, on January 19th, 2012. It's almost 50 degrees out this morning, which is almost unheard of. It's warmer now than it was yesterday afternoon when I took my walk. The winds have been quite stiff, and when it's windy here, it tends to be warmer. Something about upslope winds being warm because they get compressed against the earth or something, I don't know. Anyway, it's quite a lovely morning. I got underway early today. I'm trying to sandwich the walk in between getting people up and moving and taking people to school, my daily ride around town. Most of the day today, I got up way too early, and almost all the day has been taken up with dealing with students. The typical problem that I have, and I probably should figure out a way to deal with this, although I think a certain amount of cognitive dissonance on their part is desirable. I really want them to go, "What? Can this be right?" And to ask some of these questions that one person in particular is asking. Well, we're at the juncture in the class where they're asking, "So everything we're going to do is on a blog?" Yeah, one way or another. "So do we have to comment on other people's posts, or can we comment on our own?" It's like, well, that's up to you, but if you comment about a post on your own, you have to reference it. It's an interesting problem, because for most of these people, even those who have been, I've got a couple who say they have been blogging for a while, this idea of read and comment, of having something to say because somebody else said something, to reflect not only your own learning, but to reflect back to the world as a whole what you think you understand about it. Completely foreign. And everybody's very concerned. It's the first week, of course. They're very concerned about their grades. Very concerned about assessment. So we're going to have the thinking like a learner, not like a student talk with them, I think. Probably should do that sooner rather than later. I don't really want to let too much animosity build up. One of the curious parts is that this is a short week, and I'm cutting the week off on Saturday. So there's only a couple more days, which is plenty of time for them to get a blog, get a feed reader, answer a simple question, and maybe do a synthesis post. I'm not going to require a synthesis post this week. There's not a lot to synthesize. I give them credit for it, whether they do it or not. One person's already done one, which I find interesting since there's not a lot to synthesize yet. It's only been a couple days. So it's an interesting challenge. It's how do I get through to these teachers who are used to living and dying by assessments, to understand that the assessment is largely meaningless, that what I'm more interested in is less than what form they fill out, and much more has to do with what they're demonstrating that they're learning, and that the framework provides for both. They can demonstrate their learning in the framework, and whether they demonstrate their learning using the framework that I provided, or some variation on it, or some other way, that's cool. They have to demonstrate it. And what they're most worried about is how many words, how many times, these things that are easily counted. Oh, I get an A because I did four posts. Yeah, but there were seven word posts. And they're the same seven words. You haven't learned a goddamn thing. And you haven't explained why you still hold this thought, even when presented with other ideas. Talk to me about the new ideas. Talk to me about how you think about the new ideas. Talk to me about what you think about the new ideas. Word counts don't count. So I've had some writing to deal with. I've got a couple of them that I need to go through and work with a little bit. They're writing blog posts, but the blog posts are sketchy in places. There's a lot of regurgitation that doesn't really represent thought, merely represents they think I want to hear, I think. There's a lot of highfalutin language about how technology, education, and culture are all intertwined. There's some analysis, I'll give them credit, I gotta give them credit, there's some analysis to how they think these things are intertwined. And this is without reading anything yet, although they've had a couple of posts, a couple of podcasts from me about Postman and the first part of the book. But it's giving me more reason to think about the difference between education and learning, the breakdown in education, where what we're most concerned with is assessment. And we kind of lost track of the fact that assessment really doesn't tell us anything meaningful. This assessment doesn't tell you what a student learned. Assessment only tells you how they did on the test. If you didn't ask a question about what they learned, and you don't know that they learned it. If the test comes too soon, this is before the student has had a chance to really assimilate the learning, then they don't know that they've learned it, and they can't answer the question for the test. But later, in the field, they might actually be able to demonstrate the skill or knowledge, because that becomes a more effective, effective isn't the word I want, it's a authentic exhibition of the learning. And school, by its nature, as an artificial environment, precludes most authentic kinds of assessment. You have a test, it's on a day, any given Sunday. Football team has to perform on Sunday. It doesn't matter how good they are on Saturday. It doesn't matter how good they are on Monday. Unless, of course, it's a Monday night game, but take my point. The day of the week of the game is the day of the week you have to perform. If something happens, and the assessment is skewed. And the reality is, all assessments are skewed. But teachers behave as if they are not. So maybe I'm not a teacher because I know all of my assessments are skewed. I'm trying to explain to them that what I've got is an environment for them to demonstrate their learning in. That it's a set of tools for them to use to foster their own learning even after the course is over. That what I'm teaching them about the history of technology and education and culture is really less about an individual culture, an individual technology, than it is about learning, which may not have a place in an educational technology program where, in theory, I'm supposed to be teaching them about education. But somehow it seems disingenuous to start grad students out thinking that education is a commodity that can be obtained, that it's part of an ongoing process that doesn't end at graduation day. That the final exam isn't. There's only one final exam, and really that's the one you give yourself at the end. So it's been an interesting morning so far. I feel like I've got a lot of work done, although I haven't gotten a lot of fiction written. I've got a lot of thinking done. I was going to leave them another voice note today, but I don't think I will. I think I'll actually write it down so that they don't have an excuse for not knowing that I sent them a message. I don't know how many people actually are listening to these podcasts that I send to them. I don't know how many of them are students. I haven't actually looked at the logs to find out how many have been downloaded. It doesn't really matter. They listen or they don't. They gain the insight or they don't. And it will be reflected by their writing. It'll show up by what they say. So it's an interesting class. It should be fun. I'm trying to remember that it's a long-term process, that this is 15 long weeks, that I've got stuff that's going to happen in between, like I'm going to Oregon, I'm going down to Colorado Springs in 2 weeks to attend a con, I'm on 5 panels there, I can't believe it. There's a podcasters meetup too this week. I'm not going to go. It's not at a time where I can attend. One of the problems of having so many demands on my time is that I don't have, in spite of what might appear, a lot of free time. I think I'm supposed to write a guest post for Joanna Harness, too, for amwriting.org, to look into that. And I owe Red Tash one. Oh, good Lord. Topics on the New Discovery, which is really the old discovery. We just didn't know it. How do you find a book if you don't go to the bookstore? Now, I know that I used to go to the bookstore. I browse the shelves to find the books I wanted to read, because that's where they were displayed. But I don't do that now because, well, there's no bookstore. So how do I find new stuff to read? Mostly, I pay attention to authors whose work I like, so I know them. And I pay attention to the people trash truck. I pay attention to those people whose opinions I trust. A very small set. That's pretty much it. Somebody made a comment about ads on one of the discussion boards. It's like, ads don't sell books. The click-through is very small. The investment is very large. For the number of books they actually sell. It's a mass market technique used in a limited market environment. So it's an interesting question. How do you deal with this? How do you find stuff to read? I do look at the also bots on Amazon. I'm getting most of my book information these days from Amazon. Either the bestseller list, which, you know, in my genre, I've read everything I care to, so I have to keep looking for things that are new that have come in. Almost everything is either something I've read, something I've sampled and discarded, or something I'm not interested in. Any science fiction novel with a zombie in it? Nope. Any science fiction novel with a vampire in it? Nope. Any genre bending extravaganza? Nope. And I don't have anything against genre bending extravaganzas, except that for the most part, anybody who labels their own book that hasn't a clue what genre bending means or what an extravaganza actually is. Don't tell me that your book is great. That's another thing. If I see a blurb and it tells me how great the book is, nah, gone. Why? Because it's not up to them. Of course, they think it's a great book. They wrote it. I'm very leery of those. Although I did put Odin One Eye's comment about me and Ravenwood into the Ravenwood blurb. I thought that was an appropriate use. I'd have put the link in so people would have known where to go to find it, but I couldn't. That was against policy, so you're not allowed to put links in descriptions. Geez, I'm ready for my nap. I don't think it's barely 8 o'clock yet. Excuse me. So I can get some more writing done this morning. I got to get my reservations for Colorado Springs nailed down. Got to get some airline tickets to fly to Eugene. So I'll be ready to go over to Lincoln City at the end of March. Quiet morning in between vehicles. I wonder if the vehicles sound extra large because there's so little background noise today. There's no wind blowing. You can hear some swings squeaking probably 100 yards away. Sound carries this morning quite well. Can hear the trucks, the vehicles in general over on the bypass. Yep, a working day. It's a Thursday. So I wonder how much work I'll get done today. Getting that audio work done for John Moreau yesterday was a kick. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was quite invigorating. I got to do some more of that today so that I'll be invigorated for tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that post. I got a couple of posts stacked up for Nathan Lowell Presents too, so those probably should go out. I don't want to put them one on top of each other if there's nothing happening, so that'll be interesting. I seem to have talked myself out and just walking along, sort of thinking about breakfast. Although I've already had an English muffin with some peanut butter, thinking about a fresh cup of coffee. That would be delicious. thinking about where I am in the day's time and what have I got to do in the next hour to move the day along. Decisions, decisions. But here I am. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.